I'll just talk a little bit. Now, don't worry about my cut your throat so you can make sausage out of it. You'd understand why my voice is kind of messed up. But he said it would clear up. It does at times now, but really that's the Lord. I don't have my Bible, for I wasn't planning on using it. I don't want to drag it around out here and back. Everything loose. Somebody get it and tear the leaves out. But that don't make no difference to me. But I looked around and sort of looked about him on the first service. He just about has to preach on the freedom of Christ, because that's what the theme is here. Now, you say, well, we're not much free now. That's right, we're not. We've got a lot of things on us. But you remember this, it ain't near as fast as it's going to be. Not near as bad as it's going to be. See, you don't, may not admit it, but you're on the border of the great tribulation. And they ain't started burning them alive yet and offering them up as sacrifice now like they will do in the tribulation. See, the Antichrist is going to offer up human sacrifices. And some of you that haven't got saved yet, you might get to be one of them sacrifices. If I was you, I'd get saved. I'd get out of that mess. And so I couldn't hardly preach on nothing else. We see our freedom here. We have freedom comparatively. What are we a little later on? In other words, a lot of these things will be torn down, maybe the church too, in just a little while. There's not a... I know the best preachers in America. I've sat at their feet. I know them personally. And I haven't talked to even one. But was, it can't be over 5 years till Jesus comes. Even Pete Ruckman. And I put him against anybody in the Bible. And some others too, of course. But we got the stars up there representing the arms of our church, radio ministry, youth camp, daycare, printing, college work, bus work, I don't know what else. That's good. I like that. Over here we have the gospel book, the Jubilee, the deaf ministry, Christian school, missions, and all of that. The Lord will put as many people his brother Hiles called it, as many lines to win souls as we possibly can to try to get people to Jesus. So as I look at these signs around here, I'd have to preach on the freedom of Christ, and my text would be in John 8:36. If the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Now I'm going to give you the negative side of this first, and then I'm going to give you the positive side. First of all, I'm going to show you what you're not free from. Some people act like it, but you're not. You're not free from being honest and paying your debts. Now, a lot of you act like that. I guess why you saying Jesus paid it all so strong. Oh, to him I owe. No, he didn't mean that. Them debts you beat people out of. I think a lot of my people know it now because I've been telling them about it lately, remind them. But did you know that in other countries, just a few years back in the days of John Wesley and back, that if a fellow didn't pay his bills, they'd throw him in jail. And they said that some of the prisons stink so bad, you'd smell them a mile from them. And they put them in there because they wouldn't pay their debts. That's what a major emphasis that they put on the fact that you ought to pay your bills. You say, well, I just got so many. Well, you dope. You oughtn't have made them. You made them. Just quit buying stuff. And take that back that you don't need anyhow. Amen? Sure, you could do it. But God wants us to pay our bills. A lot of people act like it. Go out there and look at the school book They act like that it meant paying that too, but no, he didn't pay that. Jesus paid it all. He paid all your sin debt. Now, not free. It doesn't mean free from paying your debts. You ought to pay your debts. Don't you believe that? I believe the one mark of an honest character of a person is the fact they'll pay their bills. That was drilled in me so deep when I was a kid. And even as a sinner, I paid my bills. I'd do without food, pay my bills. I'd walk instead of riding, pay my bills. And I still feel that way about it. If it was so important that they had put people in jail a few years back, I mean put them in the... John Wesley's daddy was put in jail, you know, was thrown in jail because he just got behind with his bills a little bit. And he'd slip up on him, and they put him in jail. And while he was in jail, his wife had to mother all them children until he got out. John Wesley being one of them, and his brother, all of them. Now, listen to me today. If you don't ever do nothing, folks, now you think I'm... I know you'd rather I'd preach a shout in the sermon, and I know you'd rather I'd talk about somebody else, because these things pop up in your mind. But friend, you're supposed to be honest as a Christian. You're supposed to be honest as a Christian. If I owed 10 people money and didn't have any money, I'd go to them every week and say, I'm going to pay just as quick as I get it. Of course, you're not, some of you ain't going to do it because you don't think there's anything to it. But the way people treated them in the old days, it was worse to not pay your bills than it would go out and steal something. Now, I know that wasn't such a lift up, you know, right on the start, paying bills. And I didn't plan it. In fact, I didn't plan to preach. But it's still so. It doesn't mean you're free from your debt. That's because you pay your bills. And the Lord will bless you for it too. Did you know that? Then there's another thing. It doesn't mean that you'll be free from persecution. The more godly you live, the closer to God you get. The Bible said, he that liveth godly shall suffer persecution. You're going to have persecution. You can't get around it. I have persecution. You'd think a man coming down here like I did, Surrey County, is in the wilderness of sin. All the churches dried up. You'd find one and two cars sitting at each church service time, none at night. Went to work for God. The whole city got stirred. The whole county got stirred. And I've never took nobody's wife. I don't want them. I don't want them. And I've never beat nobody out of any money. Never in my life. Stole from them. And I've tried to live an upright life. And I've got more persecution by that than I did when I used to wallow in sin. I don't mean it boastfully. I shouldn't say it, I reckon, but when I was living in sin, you didn't talk about me too much. I'd come and visit you. You said, well, could you whoop them all? No, but God's got a lot of equalizers, you know. He's made a lot of them, you know. And so what I'm trying to say is this. What I'm trying to get at, you're going to be persecuted. I have young Christians come to me they get saved. Next thing I know, here they come. And they tell me about somebody that's persecuted. I said, well, honey, don't you know that's the way of life for a Christian? He that liveth godly shall suffer persecution. You're going to get it, bud. There ain't no way around it. And you young Christians that's just been saved, you just well get used to it. You just well learn it. You're going to be persecuted. And he said, when they persecute you falsely, he said, rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. God's going to reward you for that, see? So don't worry about it. And then, too, not only that, but when he said you will be free and free indeed, it didn't mean that you'd be free from trouble. Any of you have never had no trouble? Man, life's full of trouble. The Bible said it's just full of them. Life's full of trouble. You're going to have trouble. Somebody said, man, I thought everything was going to be smooth, and I got saved. It's rougher than it ever was. That's the slang of it. That's the way it goes. It gets rough. But stick it out and we'll smooth out a little later on, you see. But you'll have trouble. Man, I have trouble. I've heard people say, well, I thought when you got saved, your troubles was over. Oh, no. No, 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 no. You're going to have troubles. If you don't have no trouble today and you've been saved, I say a year, 8 months, honey, you better check up and find out if you've been saved. And I'm not doing this to discourage you. I'm just letting you know what kind of road you're going to have to travel. You're going to have troubles. And then that ain't all. You're not only that, but you will not be free from sickness. Now, I know we've got a lot of faith healers, they call themselves. Run around and say, if you rot the right faith, you won't get sick. Would you mind telling him I said he's a double-barrel liar? Would you do that for me? Find me one person that's never got sick. Even the greatest healer we've had in the last decade built a hospital. What'd they build a hospital for if you don't, if you can just have faith and not get sick? There's a nigger in the wood pile. I mean a colored gentleman in the lumber yard. Something wrong. Yeah. Isn't that right? Yeah. Something wrong. You see, what I'm trying to say is this. God's people get sick. Sinners get sick. But you know, God's favorite way of whipping a person when he's saved is through sickness in the body. That's one of his favorite ways. You can read that in the Bible where he healed him and then said, go and sin no more. That's the worst thing come upon you. So you can bring it upon you by your way you live and what you do. In other words, when I get sick or something goes wrong like that, I begin to say, Lord, what you trying to tell me? And if you know that I don't believe God will whip you and not let you know what he's whipping you for if you ask him. I believe that. I believe that God's whipping me, but I begin to say, Lord, what you trying to tell me? And then if there's nothing, take it that you're suffering for his glory and go on. And he said when you're having these sicknesses and trials, to rejoice in them. Which says you're going to have a great reward up in heaven. And in your sickness, remember this. If you'll live right and do right, God said, when you get sick, I'll make up your bed for you. I'll make up your bed for you. Well, I couldn't preach that experimentally till me and my wife had never been sick. But when we went to the hospital down in Winston, at the same time, you all know that she had a cancer wrapped around her spine, paralyzed her from her waist down. She couldn't move. And then I got struck with lightning up here on October the 13th. You remember that booby, and you come up here and got me? I had a stroke and all those things. But you see, the Bible said he'll make up your bed and your sickness. I didn't know the truth of that thing until I went to the hospital. You know, when I'd need something real bad, here come a nurse with the very thing I was wanting. And when I came home, my wife in the hospital paralyzed me, paralyzed too. Of course, I'm about over mine. But you see, I never asked nobody to do it. And it wasn't no accident. You're crazy. But for 6 months now, every day at mealtime, there's something put on my table. They don't pile it all up at one time, but God just lays it on the hearth, and here it comes. Sometimes the refrigerator gets overloaded a little bit, and I call in some help to get that worked out. So it's that way. All right? Even when I went to bed, you know, the night that we went down to the hospital, when I got off the platform, I guess they carried me, but when I got struck with lightning, they got me out of here and got down there to the hospital. They took me in. I thought I was going to see my wife. They drove on by that door and went down to where the emergency door. And I told that doctor, I said, doctor, I said, listen, don't blow this thing up too big. I said, these people are excited. I said, I'm just tired. I've been preaching revival, revival, revival. And I was fixing. When this meeting was over, I was going to just lay down and rest. He just looked at me and shook his head and said, no, no. He said, you had a stroke. I said, yeah. He said, I'm going to put you in a room. I said, no, don't you do that. He said, yes, I am. I said, no, I'm going home. I'll go home and get things straightened out, and then I'll come back. And that's what I did. But you know, the Lord will make up your bed in sickness. Food come in, and you know, that night my wife was in the hospital and couldn't move. And I was had the stroke and couldn't hardly move, carried me in, laid me down on the couch. And got lonely. And I had no children to look after me, and I figured these people, the way they live and everything they do, they didn't care nothing about me either. It'd be a good way to get rid of them, maybe. But anyhow, I lay there and I said, yeah, I'm alone. I'm alone now. But I got the Lord. And as I lay there, all of a sudden I had to get up. And I looked. I thought a bear had got in the room. And one of the men of the church was laying on the floor. Brother Phil. And I said, what in the world are you doing in here? He said, you think I'd go home and go to bed knowing that you can't even walk hardly, and your wife in the hospital, nobody to look at you. And every night that I needed, there was a man in my room to wait on me. Every night. Every night. And we didn't plan it. You say, well, that's not God's tears, too. You ain't got no sense. You are his hands. You're God's hands. If he can't get you to do nothing, his hands are tied. You know, he said, you've tied my hand. You've limited me. And so, and then God can heal if he wants to. I never did ask God to spare her. This was four times. I never did ask God to leave her in this world. I said, take her for one. She's yours. I said, I want to ask you one favor. Don't let her suffer so much. Just don't let her suffer, because I know how them cancers do. And you know, as far as I know, outside of just a little sharp pain, maybe take the aspirin or something, she hadn't hurt one little bit, maybe just a little bit, but not like these that suffer and groan and chuckle. I said, I can't stand that. And I said, Lord, just spare that. And one more thing, I said, I want to see her walk one more time. I asked the doctor, I said, doctor, I said, I better go get a hospital bed so when I take her home, she'll have a place to lay down. And he looked me dead straight in the eye, and he said, you don't need no bed for her. Just let that alone. In other words, he is telling me she ain't going home. Kind of rough, ain't it? Your troubles get back. Well, thank God you've got somebody to make up your bed, ain't you, huh? And, of course, doctors are fine when you want them around. I think they might halfway know what they're doing. I don't think these years squeeze heads do these year. Psychiatrists, I don't think they got enough sense to get out of the rain. Can't even count to 10. Had to help them count to 10. Didn't even know who was the president of the United States. Tell them all of that stuff. But she can walk now. I want you to get up and walk a little bit. And that's up there. And come on now. Let's go. No help. Not one bit of help. Now come on, you all right. You got it. All right. She ain't going to fall. Is that walking? All right, you can turn around and wait now. You turn around if you want to. You don't say anything but the Lord? Loud, real loud. Okay, amen. Well, I've done that once before to some of my people. I'm not boastfully, because I don't have nothing to do with it. But you see, God can help you walk when they say you can't walk, can you? You say, well, she'll take it again. Yeah, and you're going to get sick again, too. We'll start praying again, won't we? That's what I'm trying to say. Now, if a person could be exempt from sickness, me and my wife might qualify. Because when we first come here to this church, there wasn't nobody here. One car at the churches in the morning and none at night around all these churches around here. And we started, me and her, and another lady bring in around 20, average 25 visitors a Sunday in our church, in her. She visited around 150 homes a week. Now, I forget now how many, I just got all to it. Now, I'm not bragging, but I'm saying, I'm trying to get through your thick, dumb skull that you're not free from persecution, and you're not, and when you said you'll be free indeed, he didn't mean free from sickness, but he can heal if it pleases him to do that. And then you're not free from trials. I've had people come to me and say, oh, God's really blessed you. Looks like you just make a church go or a revival go and nobody else came. And you just going to, but you don't know the trials that a person has. You're gonna have to be willing to bear the load. You're gonna have to be willing to carry the cross. In other words, you're not free from sickness, you're not free from trial, and you're not free from labor. That means work. That's something you Christians, most of you don't bank on nothing about. You call going to church work, you're crazy. That's where people sit down to rest. Get out and work, labor in his field. Win people to Jesus. You can believe it or not, do what you want to about it. But I've sat in my house in so long to win a soul to Christ, till I'd pray for God to let me win one, and I couldn't get out, and he'd send them right in my house. Come down this high, that way over here, and said, the Lord said, I had a feeling that if I'd come over here, you'd help me. And they didn't even know me. He said, here I am. I'd lead them to Christ. You say, I can't swallow that. Well, I don't expect you good if you never experienced nothing. You couldn't swallow nothing either. It happened just the same. All right. It's not free from work. We've got to work, folks. But there's coming a day when you can't work no more, so you better get at it. And if we ain't going to be here but about 4 or 5 years, maybe less than that, we better go to work, or we're going to stand before the judgment embarrassed, and with great loss, we're going to do it. I wouldn't do that. Now, quickly, let me get this quickly. The other part of my message is, what are you free from? If you're not free from troubles and trials and sickness, if you didn't mean that, labor, responsibility, what are you free from? All right, first of all, you're free from the penalty of sin. When God whips you, he's not punishing you for what you've done, if you're saved. If you're saved and you do wrong, you're not, and he whips you, he's not punishing you for that. Listen, Jesus took your punishment at Calvary. He took your punishment at Calvary, but he's a whipping the tire out of you to get you back in the will of God. Back in the will of God. Whip you good, get you in the will of God. Now, quickly, you're free from the guilt of sin, that is the penalty. Friend, I don't have to go home worrying about, am I going to go to hell tonight? Am I going to go to hell for this? Or go hell for that? Friend, if you're saved by the grace of God, you ain't going to hell for nothing. Amen. Hell's done burn out for you. You see, Jesus took all the suffering that you're supposed to take, and you're freed from it. The penalty of it, you're freed from it. Isn't it wonderful, bless God, to be a Christian and know that hell don't have no hold on you? Hell don't have a bit of hope on you, friend. Not one bit. In other words, you're just not going there. That's all. In other words, freed from the guilt of sin. The guilt of sin. Now, I'm so glad God didn't pile my sins back on me when I sidestepped or something. I hope. Listen, look, he puts you in Christ. And when God looks down at you, it's for you. As far as your standing in the Lord and salvation, you're as good as Jesus Christ. He don't see you, he sees his son. But now when it comes to chastisement for disobedience, trying to get you straightened out, that's a different thing. But you don't pay for no sins. Those sins are paid for by Jesus Christ. You say, how many? All of them, bless God. All behind, all now, all year after, it's all paid for. All the sin debts paid. God chastens you to make you obedient and earn you his will, but you're freed from the guilt and the power of sin. Power of sin. There's no sin that you can have hope of you this morning that God Almighty can't free you from. I've had some sins in my life, and there's some kind of like them old barnacles on a ship. They're hard to get loose. I was smoking when I got saved. Man, did I have a time getting rid of that. It hung on to me. God called me to preach. And every time I'd think about it, announcing the call, that scripture would pop up and tell me, say, but you must be spotless. You must be spotless. You must be spotless. Then they started to put me in as a deacon church. I wanted to be. I longed to. I thought that would be an honorable thing. But there it come again. You must be spotless. You must be spotless. I got so disgusted, I told my wife, I said, go over there to that church and tell them to take my name off that roll. I ain't going to be nothing. Just forget me. She said, you go tell them yourself. I ain't going to tell them nothing. But I was in trouble again. But anyhow, what I'm trying to say, you are free. Thank God you're free from the powers of sin. No sin. I don't care if you're an alcoholic or a foodaholic or a cigaretteholic. I don't care what it is. There's no sin that God can't save you from. If you ain't saved from it, it's your fault. It's not God's fault. Don't go blaming nobody and say, I would if I could. No, it's you. When you get right where God wants you to do what he said, he can free you from any sin. He frees you from the powers of sin. See, I know tobacco don't seem much to y'all, but when I got saved, I looked on smoking as though I was a drunkard or something. I just couldn't stand it. And I fought that thing, man. I tried everything under the sun to quit, and I'd go back to them. I prayed, and I'd hold them cigarettes up in his hand. My Bible, you know, said, God, you've got to deliver me. I can't do nothing for you. I'm tied down. Everything I'd go to do there, them things would pop up. They'd pop up. One day I was looking through a magazine in a store, and I walked over to the druggist, and I said, listen, I said it kind of quietly because I didn't know whether he knew anything about religion. Still don't know whether he does or not. But I said, listen, I got religion the other day. That's what I said. I got religion. It's all right. He knew what I meant. If I tell you I had religion, you'd know what I meant. I know we all got all these corrective people can tell you what it really means and all that. Who on here? You go jump in the lake. Listen, I said, I got religion the other night. And I said, you know, I got a habit. I can't quit it. You got anything to cure that? You can help me? He said, I got something here supposed to help you. Hand me a can, and it had tablets in it. It said on the front, no tobacco. And I opened them thing, and I bought them for $2. Then $2 in is about the same as $20 now. I bought them things, got my car, went out there. I couldn't wait to look in there. There were them brownish looking tablets. I said, okay, cigarettes, look out, here you go. And I put them things in my mouth. My mouth got, it got dry as it is while I'm trying to preach now. I took diarrhea. I puked all day. I got to grinding my teeth like I had sand between them. And I went on like that, I like to die. And I said, God, this certainly ain't the way. I said, I quit and threw them away. Uptown one day, and I was looking in a magazine, I was just, that thing got a hold of me. I was really serious about that thing. I'd sit up at night and worry about that thing. Man, I couldn't do it. That spot had me, boy. It may not bother you, but it sure got me. So I saw a sign that said, no tobacco. My hands waving as tobacco was flying through the air. I said, that's it. And I wrote them, and they said, well, before you can get there, you'll have to send us $33. $33 is about like $3,300 now. I had an empty pocket. But I said, I got to have it. So I ordered that package. I ordered that. They said, guaranteed when you take that up, 30 days or whatever it was. You'll never want to smoke no more. So I just wrote for that, sent him the money. Me and my wife, we waited patiently. When I got it, I went to the post office and seen that little package, picked it up, went back to the house, and laid it down on the table, and she come running up. She is rejoicing as much as me. And I tore that thing open to get that thing was going to be my victory over that. God have mercy. I had a whole dose of them Kodabac tablets that made me sick. And I got on my knees. My wife will tell you so. I began to cry and weep. I said, God, I'll eat every tablet. I'll drink all that liquid. Had some liquid to drink, too. That made it worse. But what I get the victory over there. And you know, I'd go down the road driving a laundry truck, and I'd be over here vomiting, going on like that. You know. But you know what? After about 3 days, I got to where it tasted like you're getting hooked on tobacco. When I want to smoke, I put that in my mouth. Now, I was doing some hard praying. Now, you might just, I've heard people say, when I got saved, these habits just flowed away. I didn't desire them. I won't argue with it. Feller sang with me. He declares today, got on his knees, and when he got up, he never wanted to smoke again. Wasn't that way with me. I had to come through the hard way. But anyhow, what I'm trying to say, there's no power of sin that can grapple you that God can't break. Do you get that? That's what I'm trying to get over. You're freed from the power of sin if you completely mind God and get in His will. Now I'm going to close in a minute. Just be a little bit more patient. I have been preaching years as long as I generally do. I know I'm a little bit hard to understand. I haven't completely healed in my throat yet. But it does mean free from the power of sin and free from the wrath of God. The wrath of God ain't on a Christian. Did you know that? He done moved that hammer off, boy. It ain't on there. Don't that make you feel good that God's wrath not over your head? The Bible said the wrath of God is over the head of the unbeliever. You may not do nothing about it or believe nothing about it, but the wrath of God is over you this morning. If you're not saved, you boys, listen to me. You girls, listen to me. God's wrath is over your head right now. Judgment is ready to be executed right now. Before you could bat your eye good, you could go out in the eternity and face God and go before the judgment seat. You'd have to face every sin that you've ever done. Now you see what I'm talking about? I'm saying from the judgment of sin and from the wrath of God. Now, that ought to make you think. I was at Hiroshima. I've been there and seen what the bomb did. I've seen people with flesh hanging down from their arms. Most horrible sights you ever seen in your life. But do you ever remember? That's not hell. I'd rather go to all the Hiroshimas you could build in the next 20 years than die and go to hell. You're going to hell. It's pitiful, but you're going to hell. Just going to hell. You're not free from the wrath of God, but a child of God can go out and say, well, thank God, God's wrath not over my head. I can go out and feel like everything's all right with me. Could be all right with you today if you obey the Lord. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me, boys? Are you listening to me, girls? The wrath of God is hanging over your head right now. Right now. I'd get rid of it. I'd get rid of it. All right, now we're going to close with one more thing. You're not freed from the sorrow. You're saved, you still have sorrow. I used to make music, sing with a man, his wife. We'd go to these apartments down around High Point Ranch, and they'd sing and I'd preach. And I heard the day before yesterday that man died of a heart attack. I went over and looked at his body last night, or night before last, I believe it was. And I went in to see his body, And Undertaker was so gracious to take me by the big long line of people and took me right to the casket. And I stepped over to his wife. She grabbed me and just cried. Said, "Oh, preacher, remember them good old days. Remember them good old days back then." Out there preaching and singing, winning souls. Said, "We're going to miss him. We're going to miss old guy." I said, "Yeah." Here's the good part. There's coming some more good old days for God's people. You know that? The best is yet to come. Weeping may endure tonight, but thank God, joy comes in the morning. You just can't afford not to get saved. You just can't afford not to. If you're backslid on the Lord, you better come in today. You better come in today. God might already have sent the angel out that's going to strike you down, put you in your place. I'd obey the Lord this morning. You better do it now. I'm warning you. We're going to sing a song. And I hope that you'll mind the Lord. I hope you'll come quickly to Jesus. If you'll come here to this altar, there will be somebody to kneel with you and pray. If you're a boy, there'll be some man to kneel with you. You won't want to get here. If you're a girl or a woman, or a woman or a man, there'll be somebody by your side no sooner than you get here. And you say, "Well, I'm planning on maybe later on." You don't know about no later on. The Bible said, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Your cloud, your light is like a vapor. It appears for a little while and vanishes away. You don't know what tomorrow. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not. So what you better do is just get right with God now. Wouldn't you like to have it fixed up so God would make up your bed for you when you get sick? He'd look after you. Wouldn't you like to have it? Then he said, "You've got to stick close to me if I do it. Stick close to me." Wouldn't you like to know your sins are gone forever? You don't have to worry about them more dumb places. Well, you better come. Tomorrow might be too late to do anything, but I'd do it now. While God's Spirit moving on your heart, I'd do it right now. All right, let's stand together. You come while we stand.